Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 29, Explanation of Devotional Service by Lord Kapila, Text 10. Karma,
karma
Nirharam, Udishya, Parasmin, Va, Tad, Arpanam, Yajet, Yashtavyam, Iti, Va, Pritag, Bhava, Sa, Satvika, Karma Nirharam Udishya, Parasmin Vatad Arpanam, Yajet Yashtavyam Iti Va, Pritag Bhava Sasatvika, Karma Nirharam Udishya, Parasmin Vatad Arpanam, Yajet Yashtavyam Iti Va, Pritag Bhava Sasatvika, Karma Nirharam Udishya, Parasmin Vatad Arpanam, Yajet Yashtavyam Iti Va, Pritag Bhava Sasatvika, Karma,
karma,
fruit. fruit of activities.
Nirharam.
Freeing oneself from. Udishya. With the purpose of. Parasmin. To the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Va. Or. Tat arpanam, offering the result of activities. Yajet, may worship. Yashtavyam, to be worshipped. Iti, thus. Va, or. Pritak bhava, separatist, sa, he, sattvika, in the mode of goodness. Translation. When a devotee worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead and offers the results of his activities in order to free himself from the inebrieties of fruitive activities, his devotion is in the mode of goodness. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Sudras, along with the Brahmacharis, Grihasthas, Vanaprasthas, and Sannyasis, are the members of the eight divisions of Varnas and Ashrams, and they have their respective duties to perform for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When such activities are performed and the results are offered to the Supreme Lord, they are called karma arpana, duties performed for the satisfaction of the Lord. If there's any inebriety or fault, it is atoned for by this offering process. But if this offering process is in the mode of goodness rather than in pure devotion, then the interest is different. The four ashrams and the four varanas act for some benefit in accordance with their personal interests. Therefore, such activities are in the mode of goodness. They cannot be counted in the category of pure devotion. Pure devotional service, as described by Rupa Goswami, is free from all material desires. And Yabhilashita Shunyam, Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 19, verse 167. There can be no excuse for personal or material interest. Devotional activities should be transcendental to fruitive activities and empiric philosophical speculation. Pure devotional service is transcendental to all material qualities. Devotional service in the modes of ignorance, passion, and goodness can be divided into 81 categories. There are different devotional activities, such as hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping, offering prayer, rendering service, and surrendering everything. And each of them can be divided into three qualitative categories. There is hearing in the mode of passion, in the mode of ignorance, and in the mode of goodness. Similarly, there is chanting in the mode of ignorance, passion, and goodness, etc. 3 multiplied by 9 equals 27, and when again multiplied by 3, it becomes 81. One has to transcend all such mixed, materialistic devotional service in order to reach the standard of pure devotional service as explained in the next verses. Karma nirharam udishya parasmin va tad arpanam yajed yashtavyam iti va pritag bhava sasatvika. When a devotee worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead and offers the results of his activities in order to free himself from the inebrieties of fruitive activities, his devotion is in the mode of goodness. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nira Vishesha Shunyavadi Pastya Chadish Tarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Brahmanityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhaktivinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Rajkalpataribhyascha kripa sindhubhyevacha padidanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yes, so this is very interesting and important discussion in Srimad Bhagavatam. It's important, it's interesting. Well, it's just very interesting. But it's important because we, as aspiring devotees, have got some way to go before we reach the level of pure devotional service, which is being mentioned here. So we have our tendencies to get into the modes. Who can deny that? No honest devotee can deny that. We have these tendencies. But the goal is pure devotional service. As Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, and yabhilashita shunyam, jnana karma janavritam anukulyena krishna nushilanam bhaktir uttama. To achieve uttama bhakti, the term used in that verse, which is a classical term for pure devotional service. Uttama. Tama means ignorance, and ut means above. Above. Yes. Above ignorance, devotional service which is above ignorance, and in just in general above the modes of material nature. So in order to come to that level, which is the goal, it's part of the goal at least. Generally we say the goal is, as Lord Chaitanya said, prema. Pumarto maha. Prema pumarta maha. Krishna prema, love for Krishna, is the mahan means great. Arta, in this context, doesn't mean material activity. Arta in this context means benefit. Pumarto mahan. In order to, well, that prema, Krishna prema, is the great benefit of life. It's the greatest thing you can achieve, that anyone can achieve. And to attain any other sort of artha, benefit, is generally speaking simply illusion. Simply illusion. So yes, prema, Krishna prema, generally when we talk about the result, what we're looking for in Krishna consciousness, we think in terms of developing love for Krishna. But without becoming free from those different material conceptions and efforts and so on, without getting free of them, you're not going to come to the level of prema. Of course, you get free of them generally by cultivating prema, but still, particularly in the beginning stages, one generally has to make some effort to get free from the anathas, like wanting to enjoy sense gratification, wanting to speculate about various philosophical conceptions of life and ultimately the absolute truth. Without becoming free of lower qualities, lust, anger, and greed. So without making some effort in regard to these things, then that prema, which is pumarto mahan, the great goal of human life, it's not likely to happen. It's really not likely to happen. If you don't, particularly in the very early stages, if you don't make some effort to become free from intoxication, illicit sex life, meat eating, and gambling. These things, you know, for different people it's somewhat different, but for many people to become free from the attraction to illicit sex life, for many people, that's a challenge, and they have to make some effort. For many people, I think less, but meat eating is also a challenge. They have to make some effort. Intoxication, for many people, it's a challenge. You have to make some effort. So even though the process is founded on service to the Lord, but these things which are obstacles to service of the Lord, in many cases, they have to be addressed in different ways at different points in the devotee's life. And I think you would all be aware of that through personal experience. Right, so, yes. So pure devotional service is the goal. And ultimately, at least ultimately, one can only get free from the obstacles, the challenges of sinful life, materialistic life, through engaging in devotional service and cultivating pure devotional service. So that is mentioned here. Srila Prabhupada mentions here that the foundation for achieving the goal is devotional service. But devotional service cannot really work while one is has not developed some determination to get free from these things, materialistic things. So anyway, this verse and the previous couple of verses have been talking about devotional service in the different modes of nature. And of course, the description of the devotee, because these are descriptions of devotees. Srila Prabhupada, well, actually in verse 7, Lord Kapila tells Mother Devahuti, there are multifarious. Multifarious means many, really quite a lot. There are multifarious paths of devotional service in terms of the different qualities of the executor. So when we talk about, as was said, about devotional service in the mode of ignorance, it's devotional service executed by a person who's envious, proud, violent, and angry, and who's a separatist. There are other things that could be said too, but those are specifically mentioned here. It's not exactly talking about, you could say, by our standards, a normal devotee, if there is such a thing, who has some tendencies towards those things. According to Lord Kapila, devotional service in these different modes, the idea is not just some momentary lapse from time to time, but that the person really still, even though they're engaged in devotional service, but still, they're still carrying that material nature with them in terms of their material attractions, in terms of their material attachments. Not just sometimes by mistake doing something, but these are more ingrained tendencies. Envious, proud, violent, and angry, and a separatist. A separatist. Then the previous verse 9 talks about the devotee in the mode of passion who is a separatist. The term not actually from the previous verse 8. Even though the previous verse 8 talks about, well, refers to the separatist as in Sanskrit, binadrik bhavam. Bhava meaning nature. Binatvam nama namino. I don't know if you're familiar with that verse. Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purnashudo. What is it? Nityamukto. Purnashudo Nityamukto. Binatvam Nama Namino. So Bina, this is Padma Purana actually, but Lord Chaitanya also spoke it, how the holy name of the Lord is eternally on the transcendental platform. And it's binatvam, nama namino. The name, nama, and namino, the named, binatvam, they're not two. They're one. Binatvam. They're not two. But here, the person who's a separatist, at least in the verse about the person in the mode of ignorance, they're binadrik bhavam. Bina meaning, translated here as separatist, as separate, drik, to see, and bhava, nature. That they see things separately. They don't really see oneness. In the following verse 9, then the term used in this verse for the separatist, one who sees things differently, it's the same as in the verse 10 we're reading. Pritag bhava. So bhava again meaning nature. And pritag means separate, different from. So that one, just to remind us, it's because it's relevant to us. The worship of deities in the temple by a separatist with a motive for material enjoyment, fame, and opulence is devotion in the mode of passion. Yeah. And then today, of course, the mode of goodness. The person wants, they're doing their devotional service in order to free themselves from the inebrieties of fruit of action. The inebrieties of fruit of action means material desire, personal non-Krishna conscious interests. This is Pritag Bhava, being a separatist. But you can say, you know, it's easy to say, and I'm sure you can understand that the devotee who's in the mode of goodness is better. The description, the devotee is described in better terms than particularly the devotee in the mode of ignorance and also the devotee in the mode of passion, isn't it? Angry and violent. Such a devotee in the mode of ignorance. No, that's not a good devotee. That's not a good devotee. Yeah. And the devotee in the mode of passion, who is their motive. The way Prabhupada translates the verses, they have a motive. They actually, you know, they've got some enthusiasm for material enjoyment, fame, and opulence. Not just some sort of, because of previous conditioning, some sort of innate tendency in those directions. But they actually, they've got a motive. We want it through devotional service. We are performing devotional service because, at least, you know, if not absolutely, but at least to some degree, because we want to enjoy material life, possibly become famous for something, and to become materially well-situated, opulent. People with a motive like that I am doing devotional service because of those things, then I'm sure we can all understand. This is not good. This is not good. So the devotee in the mode of goodness sounds better. I mean, is better, actually. Is better. And you might, let's just read the verse again. When a devotee worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead and offers the results of his activities in order to free himself from the inebrieties of fruit of activities, his devotion is in the mode of goodness. I think it's quite easy to understand that that's a better position. That you want to free yourself. I want to get free from Maya, from material enjoyment, material attachment. I don't want these things. I want to become free of them. And therefore I'm performing devotional service to get free of them. That's the basic idea. I think it's quite easy to understand that that's better than being a violent, angry devotee or a devotee who is doing devotional service because he or she wants to become rich or to enjoy sense gratification. But as we go on and read the next verses which describe pure devotional service, then it'll become quite clear that what's being talked about here, even though it's better than the other forms of devotional service mentioned, that, you know, it's still not really the best. it's still not really what we should be trying for. So the point there is, and it's a very important point to grasp, that when someone is performing devotional service in order to become free from material attachments, this is a type of material motivation. It's a type of material motivation. It's not exactly on the level of, I am doing devotional service simply to please the Lord. Simply to please the Lord. Simply to please the spiritual master. And that's all. There's a difference. There's definitely a difference. So, yeah, and the difference is, it's a selfish type of desire. Just like we know that on the level of pure devotional service, that the devotee is feeling that kaivalya, as stated by, I think it's Yamunacharya, kaivalya narakayate, tridas pur akash pushpayate. That liberation, to me, I can see, it's just like hell. Narak means hell. And, you know, of course, tridas pur means the heavenly, the prospects of heavenly sense enjoyment. Akash pushpayate, just like some phantasmagoria, Prabhupada uses that term, a sort of hallucination, like flowers in the sky. I know that there is talk in Shastra of, on certain occasions, flowers falling from the sky. Yeah, at certain special times, you know, Krishna kills a demon, we understand it happens sometimes. But if any of us sometimes feel we see flowers falling from the sky, it's probably just some form of hallucination. Anyway. So, but in this regard, in regard to this verse here, what Yamunacharya says, that kaivalya narakayate, that the desire for liberation is, or not just the desire, but the actual liberation, to me, liberation seems hellish. Yeah. Liberation is hellish. What is being stated here? That we want to become, that the devotee in goodness wants to free themselves from the inebrieties of fruitive activities. Strictly speaking, in philosophical terms, this is a desire for liberation. Strictly speaking. Of course, it becomes Krishna conscious when the devotee thinks, I want to become free from in the inebrieties of fruitive activities so I can serve Krishna nicely. Then we're coming more to pure devotional service. But in and of itself, just to feel that I'm serving to get free from material attachment, this is a type of desire for liberation. And therefore, it's not exactly what is real pure devotional service. Because real pure devotional service has no type of desire for oneself. whether it's good for me, it's bad for me, whether I like it, I don't like it, whether I feel I might get materially attached if I do it, or whether if I do it, it might help me become free from material attachment. These are personal desires for one's personal benefit, results for oneself. Whereas ultimately, at least ultimately, pure devotional service means if Krishna wants it, then whatever it is, I do it or try to do it like that. This is the essence, at least. You know, of course, we are not elevated personalities. So therefore, sometimes if we do some devotional service, there may be some real danger which we may have to be mindful of. You know, particularly if someone is living in Krishna consciousness but living in a celibate position, and somehow there's some devotional service being presented or offered which may involve some closer contact with the opposite sex, then, you know, for a sadhaka, it is probably a good idea to just bear that in mind and even bring it up to those who are offering the service. Sometimes, for a devotee who is a grihastha, sometimes it happens that a devotee who is a grihastha, who already has a husband or a wife, that because they're grihasthas and their lifestyle involves interaction, you know, automatically and necessarily with the opposite sex, then there is often the tendency that for them to deal with the opposite sex in the context of their service, that this can be acceptable. But, you know, we have seen how devotees who are grihasthas, if they have to regularly deal with other members of the opposite sex, other than their husband or their wife, we have seen problems occur. But ultimately, in the ultimate sense, pure devotional service means, if Krishna wants me to do it, if the spiritual master wants me to do it, if the devotees want me to do it, I should do it. I should do it, or I must do it. But something like that. Yeah, this is pure devotional service. Yes, but for those who are not on the advanced level, then at least, I'm sure you're aware, Srila Prabhupada on a number of occasions encouraged that, all right, now you're performing devotional service, at least come to devotional service in the mode of goodness. Cultivate brahminical qualities. Srila Prabhupada encouraged that and spoke about it on numerous occasions. So at least that is definitely better than being caught up in some endeavors in devotional service which involve some real ignorance or some real passion. Yes. So therefore, there's a place, particularly for the newer devotees, which includes all of us, by the way. Some of us have only been devotees less than 50 years. We are still new devotees. So these types of considerations can be relevant and proper, even, for someone who's on the level of sadhana bhakti. Yeah. But ultimately, the goal of the devotee, and it has to be kept in the mind, is to come to the level of pure devotional service. Simply doing what pleases the Lord and Guru and like that. So then, just a last point I'll mention, Srila Prabhupada, it's not mentioned in the verse, but Prabhupada brings out an important, and it's also a very interesting point, that it's not necessarily just as simple as you are doing devotional service, but you're doing devotional service in ignorance. And someone else is just doing devotional service in passion. Someone else is just doing devotional service in goodness. Oh, there are all sorts of subdivisions, mixtures. The modes, after all, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, when he talks about the modes, he talks about them competing with each other. And the idea is that it's very unusual and it's hardly possible to find someone who's just in ignorance only, who's just in passion only, who's just in goodness only, and they're fixed like that. This is extremely unusual. The modes are fluctuating regularly. And therefore, the practical experience in life is that even though many people have, there's one particular of the three modes which is sort of like their main mode, but still, you'll inevitably find that even people who are mainly in one of the three modes, but sometimes they're in the other modes, or the presence of the other modes is noticeable, they get into some mixed position. So this can happen, this not can happen, it happens in devotional service when the devotee is still prone to become inclined or to become influenced by the different modes. So Prabhupada talks about that it's not just a matter of three forms of materialistic devotional service, but Prabhupada says it can be divided into 81 categories. First of all, there's nine. Those are the nine basic devotional activities as given by Prahlad Maharaj. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishno, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. Those are the nine devotional services, beginning with hearing and chanting. So there's nine first of all. And Prabhupada in the purport here talks about two of the nine, hearing and then chanting. You can have hearing in the mode of passion, hearing in the mode of ignorance, hearing in the mode of goodness, and you can have chanting in each of those modes also. And you can have all the nine in the three modes, and 3 times 9 is, anyway, 27. From school. There was a time when we didn't know that, by the way. And we learnt it and was like, oh, gee. Yeah, multiplication. So 3 times 9 is 27. But then you can subdivide further. And you multiply 27 by 3 and you get 81. And if you really want to get into it, you can subdivide further. You can really subdivide further. I mean, it becomes like very subtle at a certain point, but it's definitely possible to subdivide further. And ultimately, it can be said that every conditioned soul has their own particular nature in terms of mixtures of the modes of material nature, if you really want to get into it. Yes, so therefore Prabhupada says one has to transcend all such mixed materialistic devotional service in order to reach the standard of pure devotional service as explained in the next verses. Tune in tomorrow to find out what exactly that is. And I'm sure when we hear that, then we'll look back on this verse and we'll think, yes, actually it's true. Devotional service in the mode of goodness is not really what we should be striving for. Hare Krishna. Before anyone moves, any comment or question? Mother Sukumari, please. Loud and clear.
How do we know what Krishna wants of us?
How do we know what Krishna wants of us? Yes. Now that's, of course, a very good and important question. Well, you know, let us start at one end of the scale, higher end. Krishna might actually tell you. He has told some devotees. That's a fact. Some devotees who you could say they have, you know, such a connection, such a relationship with Krishna that there's interaction, no real interaction going on. Otherwise, for those who don't, you know, we don't want to just speculate that, oh, you know, I think it seems to me that Krishna wants. You know, that's a risky level. So one has to find out from, well, one could say you can find out from Shastra, Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya Chitete Kuriya Aikya. But even so, Scripture, for us to understand Scripture, Prabhupada made the point that actually when we read the Bhagavatam, when we read Bhagavad Gita, actually the purports are the most important things. The verses, of course, they're important. But actually the purports are more important because they give clarification on the verses. Even if the verses seem fairly obvious what they mean, in most cases Prabhupada gives purports which give further clarification. So, you know, some devotees are advanced enough that, you know, when necessary, they can just take direction from Shastra and then it's clear, yes, I should do this or that. But for so many of us, we need the devotees to help us to decide and avoid possibly making mistakes. And amongst the devotees, the spiritual master is the most important for us. So certainly the spiritual master can be and should be addressed, particularly when it's not clear, even after discussion with senior devotees. The spiritual master should be addressed about what's the right service for me at this point. But otherwise, in a general sense, generally it's sufficient to understand what Krishna wants, or you could say what Krishna wants also, but certainly what will be acceptable to Krishna. through consultation with the senior authoritative devotees. Yeah, and there's a statement I read by Bhaktivinoda Thakur many years ago, which, you know, unfortunately I can't remember exactly where it's located, but I read it and it really struck me. He said, if four senior Vaishnavas say you should do something, then you can take it that Krishna wants you to do it. And Prabhupada said, now this is something which I noted down, I got it in my notes from years ago. Prabhupada says, if the temple authorities say you should do something, you can take it that Krishna wants you to do it. So we're really getting down, you know, in a certain sense. I would say in those circumstances, it's nice to accept. If, you know, there appears to be like some substantial challenge to your doing that, which the authorities may not be aware of or haven't taken into consideration sufficiently, you do have the right to say, well, just hang on, you know, let's consider this. You know, but the higher you get up the sort of the chain, particularly with the spiritual master, definitely it's generally better to just accept and try, even if there appear to be challenges, because, you know, the mercy will be there. And if we're never willing to accept challenges of any sort, you know, it's going to be harder to make advancement. Yes. So, particularly with the spiritual master, if there's some suggestion of some service, and then if he expresses that he wants you to do that, generally we should accept. You know, if there appears to be some really special consideration, you can also, you know, Prabhupada had discussions with devotees on numerous occasions where he said he wanted them to do something or suggested something, and then they mentioned some other considerations and Prabhupada, you know, adjusted. Is that okay? Hare Krishna. Thank you. Good question. Oh, yes.
In terms of the nine stages of advancement prior to the framework, could it be said that at the stage of Nishtha, anyone is entering the realm of pure devotional service?
The question is, in terms of the nine stages from Shraddha to Prema of devotional service, if someone's come to the level of Nishtha, could it be said that they're entering the realms of pure devotional service? Right. It can be said. It can be said. I mean, you can also say if someone's just on Bhajana Kriya, they're sort of entering the realms. But of course, Nishtha means, you know, means fixed and steady. But, you know, if you read the descriptions, particularly given by Srila Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur in Madhurya Kadambini, in his description of the devotee on the level of Asakti, which is the last level before, you know, full-on devotional service, pure devotional service. He says that sometimes it happens that the devotee on the level of Asakti becomes attracted to material things. If you read it, he talks about it quite clearly. Without even understanding how it happened, he describes like that. So, you know, you really enter the realm of real pure devotional service on the level of bhava. That's a fact. And from Shraddha to, you know, up to and including Asakti, you're in the you're somewhere in the realms. Even just on the level of Shraddha, you're somewhere in the realms. But it becomes more, you know, stable and consistent like that on the level of Nishtha, that's for sure. On the level of Anatha Nivritti, it's sometimes described as being a bit of a battlefield. Yeah. But on the level of Nishtha, you know, the battlefield type of scenario falls away. I mean, a lot more. Nishtha is a lot more advanced than Anatha Nivritti. Is that all right? Yes. Yes. Free. Yes. That's part of the, you know, the foundational definition given by Srila Rupa Goswami of bhava. Yes. It's just, that's part of it. There are a few other things beyond the modes now, untouched by the modes. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.